along with me.
Russ Davis. Join me for Jazz America right after the latest news on VOA 1.
I'm Steve Norman reporting, topping the news, Pentagon undecided on Islamic State control of an Iraqi town. U.S. defense officials are sending conflicting message about the western Iraqi town of al-Baghdadi as Islamic State rebels and Iraqi security forces battle for its control. This comes as Islamic State militants were repelled from taking over the al-Assad base in Anbar, where U.S. troops are training Iraqi forces. We have more now from VOA's Carla Babb.
Pentagon spokesman Rear Admiral John Kirby says Islamic State jihadists captured the western Iraqi town of al-Baghdadi, just 13 kilometers from the al-Assad base where U.S. troops are training Iraqi forces.
At this time, I think we still assess ISIL to be in control of al-Baghdadi.
But an official with the Combined Joint Task Force, which oversees the fight against the Islamic State, says al-Baghdadi is not under the militants' control. The official, who asked VOA not to release his name, says, quote, "Any report otherwise is wrong," and the Pentagon was, quote, "not updated." Admiral John Kirby asked reporters to keep the situation in perspective because al-Baghdadi is just one town. But control of the town would give Islamic State militants a close hub to potentially launch more attacks against the base. Carla Babb, VOA News, the Pentagon.
United States says Russia is sending large amounts of supplies and equipment to pro-Russia fighters in eastern Ukraine. Russia has denied doing this. Nigeria's Boko Haram extremist group has for the first time attacked a village in Chad, part of a widening insurgency that is now drawn in four countries. Chadian officials say at least 12 people were killed during the early Friday violence. Boko Haram has previously launched deadly attacks on towns in Cameroon and Niger. Two countries, along with Chad, recently joined a regional offensive against Boko Haram. This is VOA News. Militants attacked a Shiite mosque in Peshawar in northern Pakistan during Friday prayers, killing many and wounding many more. VOA's Ayesha Tanzim reports.
Friday is the busiest day at any mosque. More than 800 people were praying at the Shiite Imamiyah Masjid in Peshawar when sounds of explosions and gunfire erupted. Witnesses described men in suicide vests armed with automatic weapons and hand grenades. They were wearing uniforms of the provincial paramilitary force. Two of them blew themselves up. Mosque security guards shot a third one dead before he could detonate his vest. One man who was wounded by a bullet says the firing seemed to be coming from the building under construction next door. The attackers had entered the building by cutting barbed wire fence on a back wall. The Pakistani Taliban claimed responsibility. It is the same group that killed 150, mostly school children, in a bloody attack on a school in Peshawar in December. Aisha Tanzim, VOA News, Islamabad.
Here in the U.S., President Obama has called the shooting deaths of three Muslims near a college campus in the state of North Carolina brutal and outrageous murders. A neighbor of those killed had been charged with first-degree murder in connection with the killings. Police say they believe a long, simmering dispute over a parking space led to the shootings. The father of the slain women said he believes the shootings were a hate crime. President Obama signed an executive order on Friday aimed at encouraging companies and organizations to share more information about cybersecurity threats with the government and with each other. Mr. Obama signed the order at a White House-sponsored conference on cybersecurity and consumer protection. It took place at Stanford University in California. White House says the executive order lays out a framework that will include strong protections for privacy as well as civil liberties, even as it removes barriers between the government and the private sector. The move follows high-profile hack attacks against U.S.-based companies and some U.S. government agencies. The Obama administration clarifying what goods Cuba's small private sector will be allowed to sell to the United States, further loosening 50 years of trade restrictions against Havana. Friday's developments follow last December's deal with President Obama and Cuba's President Raul Castro to exchange prisoners, reopen embassies, and ease restrictions on commerce. A report issued by the media watchdog Reporters Without Borders says press freedom declined during the world last year. The annual World Press Freedom Index said conditions in two-thirds of the 180 countries surveyed worsened in 2014. Get more news at our website, voanews.com.
That's the latest world news from VOA. Hello again, my friend and lover of jazz. Come closer to your radio and enjoy another edition of Jazz America on VOA 1. This is Russ Davis, your host, inviting you to join me backstage at one of New York City's famous jazz clubs, the Jazz Standard, to talk to one of the greatest jazz singers, Carmen Lundy. Yes, it is a joy to be based in New York City. It is the hotbed of jazz as it has been for decades, over a century really, and it is my pleasure to take you from time to time backstage to some of the great venues, concert halls, and clubs in New York City to talk to some of the greats of jazz today. I love to do that rather than sit in the studio because we're getting the artists right there in the place where they create their art, when they're in an excited state of mind, actually practicing their art, creating the music for the audience rather than just simply ruminating on something they may have done in the past. Instead, it's of the present. And the great vocalist Carmen Lundy, one of the greats of the present, invited me to come backstage to Jazz Standard to talk to her. And we'll hear not only her thoughts, but music from her two most recent releases, Changes, from 2012 and 2014's release, Soul to Soul. But first, let's salute one of the greats of jazz who made his name sitting behind the drum kit, leading his band during the Depression days and the big band swing era. His name, William Henry Webb, but everyone knew him as Chick Webb. He was diminutive in stature because he had a terrible ailment, tuberculosis of the spine, and it took his life when he was only in his mid-30s. But what an incredible musical legacy he left, and what awesome energy he exhibited when he sat behind the drum kit and led his band. He's famous for having been the band leader who hired Ella Fitzgerald for the first time. And when he passed away, she continued to lead his band in his honor until her solo career took off in such a major way she couldn't continue to do that. But Chick Webb, the man from Baltimore, Maryland, had such an incredible energy, as we'll show you right now. From an album titled Spinning the Web, here's a recording from November of 1937. Chick Webb and his orchestra with some of the famous players of the day like Mario Bauza and Louis Jordan joining him for this classic song, Harlem Congo, to begin this edition of VOA's Jazz America.
great alto saxophonist Charles McPherson. That's some brand new music from him. He made his name years ago being the saxophonist who worked with Charles Mingus for years. Well, he went out on his own and has certainly made a name for himself over the years with music like what you just heard, a brand new release. That was the title cut from the album The Journey. This is Russ Davis. Let's go backstage to the Jazz Standard in New York City and have some conversation with one of the reigning queens of jazz vocalists today. She is Carmen Lundy.
You're of a great generation of jazz singers. I mean, I just think about you and Dee Dee Bridgewater and Nina Freelon and Cassandra Wilson and Kurt Elling and just some good-looking folks and just super talented. I know I'm leaving out some names there. You got to be proud of this generation of jazz singers and how they've taken... I'm getting shivers. I'm looking at a picture of Billie Holiday right here. If she were here, she'd be going, thank you, brothers and sisters, for doing what you've done. You're carrying it on beautifully.
Well... I have this memory being at the North Sea Jazz Festival, sharing the same hall. It was the Van Gogh Hall. North Sea Jazz Festival was in The Hague, Den Haag, yes. And Betty and I went backstage, and Betty and I shared the dressing room, you know, that whole setup. And I went over to her and I said, Miss Carter, I just want to thank you so much for encouraging me and for just being supportive of me. So now it's... She said something like, well, have you checked your sound? Because I think I went on after her. I said, oh, if you were on stage, why do I need to check the sound? You know? So I'm standing there, and, you know, in the wings, they announced the band. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Carmen Lundy. And I'm standing there waiting for the guys to tune up. And I remember her grabbing me and pushing me like that. Get out there. She shoved me on my right shoulder, pushed me out on the stage. which who knew? I mean, it was the last time I saw her, okay? Oh, wow. Because we lost her not too long after that. Mm. But to have a sense of, I mean, to be handed the sense of responsibility, to have that great artist show you that they really do take interest in the work and are encouraging and that they feel like, okay, the music is in good hands, maybe, you know. But I had a similar experience with Shirley Horn.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so this is so wonderful that I was following in their footsteps in such a way without any copying, but just to learn from them. Mm. But to be encouraged by these great artists meant a lot. Mm. So, of course, it comes with a responsibility. You've mm-hmm. got to bring everything to the music. You've got to bring your complete self, mm-hmm. and that's my that's what I hope to offer mm-hmm. to those aspiring artists that are just at my heels, you know, waiting, you know, for mm-hmm. for me to move out of the way.
freshness of me and you. Freedom of the music and the song. The freedom of the music and the song. The freedom of the music and the song. Mm-hmm. I'm truly grateful, yeah, for that truly grateful. You set my world on fire.
You set my world on fire.
Keep me reaching higher.
The great vocalist Carmen Lundy, Grateful Part 2, from one of her two recent releases, the 2014 release Soul to Soul. Carmen Lundy is more than just a singer. She's an actress. She's a painter. She's also a multi-instrumentalist, having studied at the prestigious music school of the University of Miami in South Florida, her hometown, and getting her degree in music there, in opera, as a matter of fact, though she also studied piano over the years, and so she's a great band leader and composer too, a real Renaissance woman. Another person who is involved in the past, in the history of the University of Miami Music School, is the late great bassist composer and the man that Christian McBride called the Charlie Parker of electric bass, Jaco Pastorius. He was only 22 years old when he was a teacher at the University of Miami. In 1976, he released the album simply titled Jaco Pastorius and enlisted the help of greats like Herbie Hancock on piano and Lenny White on drums for this song, Used to Be a Cha-Cha, the late great Jaco Pastorius on Jazz America from VOA 1.
Thank you.
One of those greats of jazz history who passed away far too early. He was only in his 30s when he died. He is bassist Jaco Pastorius. What a wonderful composer and arranger and unique player he was of his instrument, the electric bass, playing it as if it were an acoustic bass. So he certainly had a unique vision, and he was a wonderful composer. As you just witnessed on the song Used to Be a Cha-Cha, with Herbie Hancock and Lenny White, among others, joining with him. I've got more of our conversation with Carmen Lundy backstage at the Jazz Standard in New York City coming right up. But first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address: jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's Jazz America, the two words written as one word, at, that's the at sign, voanews.com. Jazz America at voanews.com. And here's a simple message that I really appreciate. It's short but sweet, and it reads as follows. Daji from Addis Ababa is enjoying your jazz collections. Keep them coming. A nice way to spend a Saturday. And the subject line is Ethio loves jazz. Dajiopia. Well, thank you so much for your kind message. I am so glad we make your Saturday a little bit better as we enjoy the music. And hopefully you enjoy the stories and the history of jazz, too. And I'm going to, in your honor right now, Dagio, give you a little bit of a history lesson and a listening session and a comparison. Let me be specific. Rudresh Mahanthapa has a brand new release. The great alto saxophonist who's been, certainly, as every alto saxophonist I can think of, has been influenced by the great Charlie Parker. So much so that he created a brand new album that's just out called Bird Calls. That is not a collection of Charlie Parker songs, but instead songs inspired by Charlie Parker and specific Charlie Parker songs. I've seen him perform this music live at the Newport Jazz Festival, and it was just brilliant and inspiring. Now, here's a song that was inspired by Charlie Parker's classic song, Parker's Mood. It's called Talon's Thinking, and Talon is Rudresh Mahanthapa's young son. So let's enjoy first Talon's Thinking from Bird Calls and follow that to compare it in our ears and in our minds with Charlie Parker's classic Parker's Mood here on VOA's Jazz America. So often when you think about the music of Charlie Parker, it's the bebop days, and he's playing fast and furious. In this case, mellow and soulful in the song Parker's Mood. Hope you enjoyed that. And how was that comparison between that 1948 recording and a cut from Bird Calls from Rudresh Mahanthapa, dedicated to his young son Talon. Talon is thinking. Hope you enjoyed that. Now, let's return backstage to Jazz Standard, the great club in New York City, to talk further with Carmen Lundy and hear more of her wonderful music, this time a cut from her 2012 release, Changes.
Another aspect of this recording is the fact that you see the human experience, not just with romantic things, but the fact that this world is what this world is, imperfect in its perfect way, and songs like Love Thy Neighbor and Dance the Dance talk about being a human being in this world, trying to not be frustrated, trying to learn that we should all just simply do good to one another. What's the problem with that? What's keeping us from being that way? So you think on those levels, too. That's another aspect of your writing and of this recording.
It's about, for me, it's about how to convey through music, through our jazz, life experience as we are living it today. Things that we've tried to address in the past, yet we are still addressing, that seem to refuse to go away. Mm. Yet, perhaps a way to deduce this experience, my personal experience as an American, having traveled the world. Mm. Having traveled the world gives you a perspective on how we really, truly are all so much the same and so unalike. We're more alike than we are unalike. How do you take all of that and say something that is a little bit of a social commentary, and it's not with the intent to upset, but intent to at least create thought, and for one to kind of have a moment of self-reflection, if you will. I'll use that term. Mm-hmm. So love thy neighbor, as of course we all know from the Ten Commandments, but it's one of those things we all overlook. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of the ones I think we're very quick to overlook or to not place so much value. And I would have to say that love thy neighbor was my risk. You know, I risk in terms of lyrically singing about something. I mean, it's about love, but it's universal now. I'm talking the universal thing. But I took a risk in some of the lyrics because, I don't know, I didn't know if there was another way to say it or get to the point. Let's get to the point here. And I wanted to also, you know, I'm a child of the 60s and 70s, let's face it. I mean, I've done my homework in jazz, but I grew up during the Civil Rights era and all that, you know, stuff. So I kind of, you know, I dig Marvin Gaye. You know, I dig a lot of what was going on at that time. I even dig Michael Jackson. And when when I was kind of conceiving the tune, I just heard, I think Michael had just left. And how does a jazz artist, you know, short of singing his tunes that he's, you know, made famous, how do you do that? So I wanted to find a tempo and a certain kind of energy and urgency in the way we perform this that maybe makes you want to dance also, which is an element of the jazz that I think we could kind of return to. I mean, why not dance to this music? Why not? If it feels good, why not? So I think we wanted to incorporate this whole idea of look at each other. Let's look at ourselves for who we are now in this country and where we've come to, particularly with our first African-American president, all those political things going on. Come on. Come on. I mean, who are we kidding, right? So that's what you're getting in that tune.
Live yours respectfully. Life is is much too short to hold a grudge. It makes you old before your time. Do yourself a favor, let go of your fear. The grass ain't always greener on the other side. In the global family, let me live my life, and you can live yours respectfully. Life is much too short to hold a grudge. It's making you old before your time. No, no, do yourself a favor, let go.
from her album Changes from 2012. Carmen Lundy with beautiful music and social consciousness all put together on the song Love Thy Neighbor. And thy neighbor isn't the person who lives next door or that you see walking on the street in your neighborhood. It's the person around the globe. Why can't we all just understand that? Thank you, Carmen, for reminding us of that. And as you heard her mention, she's a child of the 70s and was influenced by the social consciousness and the beautiful music of Marvin Gaye. Well, so was Grover Washington Jr. Here's a title cut from his debut effort, Inner City Blues, Make Me Wanna Holler, on Jazz America from VOA 1. the late, great Grover Washington Jr., Inner City Blues. Russ Davis here. Join me next hour for more of our conversation backstage with Carmen Lundy.